Okay, church, good morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. You're only going to be in one spot. So if you're a visitor, if you are young, you say, hey, Brother Hunter, I can't even read. Well, I want that book open, even if it's upside down. I want you staring at the words, okay? One thing that I've been receiving from a lot of parents, and parents, I want you to continue to send them to me because it's such good encouragement. You know, as Celia puts those slides up on the screen and has verses and different quotes from the scriptures, I'll get parents send me notes of their children. And this is such a wonderful, beautiful discipline to start, which, guys, I've seen it firsthand in the future version of your kids as some of ours are growing up, that those disciplines take root and are blessed for many, many years. And so for my kiddos here, man, have those Bibles open. Get those journals, those highlighters, those pens. You're going to be in one spot in a very beautiful story in John 9. So go ahead and have your Bibles open. It literally will be the only place you are at this morning. John 9. And so if you flip in your Bibles, this sermon, this service, this morning will be a little different than normal. Usually we have like a text and we'll be breaking it down. And usually we're in a whole book of the Bible. And really God has kind of sent us in the last 4 weeks into this message of going through salvation and what it means to be saved and sanctified, which means to grow more like Christ. And that's where we have been. And usually that looks like there's a text and we break it down, but we're going through other texts of the Bible to pull from. And this morning what we see is we're going to take the last 4 weeks of what it means to be saved, what salvation is and how we can communicate it to others, what we see in the Bible and what it means to grow afterwards. And so if you know anything about Scripture and salvation, what God does is He steps into our life. We see His perfection. We see our sin. We fall at the cross. He saves. And after the moment of salvation, the rest of our life is to become more like Christ. And that is not by our efforts or our works or our checks thrown into a plate. That is through sanctification, through valleys and high mountaintops of God growing us, pruning us, molding us to be more like His Son. And so what does that mean? Well, we get to see it all in this title, which we have said, The Good Shepherd, in the story of Jesus and the blind man. And so one thing that I enjoy doing, and we've done it for the last 4 weeks, and so if you get tired of me hearing it, just bear with me. It'll just take a minute or two, but I always like to rehash of where we've been so you fully recognize where we're going. And so for the last 4 weeks, we started this journey on what does it mean to be saved? And so the first week, about a month ago, Solomon, the Lord, took us to the curtain, had us peek behind it, and He showed us the world for what it is. And what did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 2? He said, it's all vanities of vanities, grasping for the wind. So there's this moment where the richest and the wisest to ever walk this earth, he saw the world for what it is, and everything was perishing. And as everything perishes, you and I get to see the only thing that stands, and that is the Lord. And so Solomon has this moment, this aha moment of where he can see. So week one in salvation, our eyes are open. Solomon, you and I, whatever your story is, we are blind, but now we can see. For those that are saved, do you remember the moment that you first saw? Do you remember that moment for the first time in your life where you go, man, I can see for the first time? That's what we're going to see today. That's what happened in Solomon's life. Week two, we talked about the difference between hearing and listening. He said, it's not just that our eyes are open. Now our ears are open. And it's not just seeing, but God's word is making sense. It's what we saw on Wednesday night. We rehashed it on a Sunday morning. That Jesus looked at Peter and he says, who do you say that I am? And what did Peter say? You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. He got the answer right, 100 on the test. And what did Jesus say? It is not flesh and bone that has revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It is not your age. It is not your wisdom. It is not the pastor's ability to speak that you learn from, but it is the Holy Spirit stirring those affections. So for some of you guys this morning, like you are in this space where things are making sense. And you go, I don't know how it's making sense. And it is the Spirit that lives within you. Amen. Way too excited early on this thing. can feel it. Ah, week three. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open. And I ask the question, do you know who's speaking? Do you know who's speaking? You're going to see this in the story of the blind man. Man, he could see what was going on for the first time. He could hear and listen to the things that were being said, but he really didn't understand who was talking to him. And I ask you the question, who is God? Like, is God the process of elimination? Is God the desire for heaven or the fear of hell? Is God the box that you check? Is God your parents, your pastor, your denomination? Or is God creator, king, sovereign, Lord, that is good and he is your father? Who is the speaker? And then last week, have you responded? Have you responded? God says, now that you can see, now that you are listening, now that you know me, be faithful. Be faithful. And so what we see this morning is we end this conclusion of where we've been for the last month. We get to see all of those 4 weeks beautifully told in one story of Jesus and the blind man. And so listen to God's word. In John 9, verses 1 through 12. This is right after what my brother Jacob here read in John 8. It says in verse 1 of chapter 9 in the Gospel of John, it says this. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. We're going to read a lot of verses today. Like I said, a different type of sermon. We're going to really unpack this story. So just highlight the first sentence. Now, Jesus passed by and he saw a man who had been blind since birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither. This man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Will you highlight that? I'm going to read it again. Verse 3. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God shall be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back, and now he could see. Therefore, the neighbors of those who previously had seen that he was blind, it is not this who sat and begged. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, right? They couldn't believe. They didn't understand what was going on. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? Is this not a beautiful picture of today? When the people look at the church, when some look at your life and they go, man, what happened to you? What is happening at that church? What has happened to your marriage or your kids? Like, you can't be the same guy that I knew, that I went to school with, that I ran around with. How is this? And what does the man say? Listen, you're not confusing me for someone else. I am that man who was blind. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? How has your life changed? And he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool and wash. And so I went and I washed. And guess what, guys? I received sight. And then they said to him, where is he? And the blind man said, I do not know. So I want you to understand the scene. I want you to be able to close your eyes for a second just to kind of get the climate of what's happening. And so in John 9, Jesus is in the thick of his ministry. He is in a moment where his name is spreading. Miracles are happening. Like, the disciples are following him. And right now in Jesus' ministry, there's becoming a great divide. Like, there was not social media or the internet, but like word was traveling. And so when people said Jesus, they said, I've heard about this guy and I'm all about finding out about what he's about. I'm fascinated. I'm in love, or I'm angry, frustrated, or I hate this man. So this point in John 9, there seemed to be a great divide. When you said the word Jesus, people had a thought, right? And in the midst of all of those thoughts and opinions and perceptions, there was also this great sense of confusion. There was different fractions of how people saw Jesus and they heard Jesus and what they thought about Jesus. And so rightfully so, this is something that my brother Stoney and I just talked about last week. You got to understand that when Jesus came onto the scene, all the people had been taught in the temple the word of Moses. They had been taught the Ten Commandments and the law of the Old Testament. That was their scripture. In so many ways, Moses was their Jesus. Like, he was the man of God. And when Christ comes to the scene and says, hey, listen, I am the Ten Commandments. Like, I am the high priest. I am the church. I am the way. I am all God, all man. You got to understand, even though these men were wicked in their heart, you got to somewhat see where they were coming from. Jesus was hard to gather. And not only were they confused with who Jesus was and what he was saying, you just got to realize it was a wild scene. Like, put yourself in these shoes. Like, if someone was coming around and performing miracles and the blind could see and the sick were healed, like, you would have a hard time too, right? And so there's this moment in which I love in this story where even the men who were following Jesus were a little confused. And so the disciples come to this blind man and they look at this blind man who they did not know, does not give us his name. And they go, hey, Jesus, like, was this blindness that he has, was this deserved or inherited? Which one? Like, he's looking at like what seems to be a situation that nobody would want. Nobody wants to be blind. And so the disciples look at Christ, still confuse themselves, and go, hey, Jesus, what did this cat do to deserve such a thing? Was it passed down by his old man, or did he do something in his life, right? And so what we see in this simple story of the disciples and Christ and the blind man, we see a lot of things about who man is, the disciples, and also Jesus. The first thing that we see simply in the men's questions is that man is very quick to judge and to speak on what's not fully known or understood based off their emotions. And so not knowing this man, nor his life, or how God works, the disciples look at him and go, man, he must have done something really, really bad to be without sight, right? Have you ever done that? You ever looked at a man or a woman or a marriage or a family that's going through hard times and been like, man, I could have called that one from a mile away. You shouldn't be doing dot, 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 dot. Like, God doesn't smile upon foolishness. Like, I know why you're going through all of that mess. Or have you ever done that to another brother? Have you ever shown the lack of grace and self-righteously judged them in their mind based off their circumstances? Must have done something. It was the sins of the father. Your father was foolish, and guess what? Now you're drowning in foolishness. Or have you ever said it to yourself? I have a lot of people that sit on my couch to say this. Hey, Hunter, I know I'm a divorcee. I've done bad things. I've said bad stuff. I haven't always been the nicest guy. And now I'm in all of this mess. And God has just sent down the lightning bolts of life and flattened all of my tires of my life. And I'm going to sit in this mess forever because of the things that I have done. I am blind because of my foolishness. Have you ever said that? And so the men look at Jesus and go, hey, who's at fault, him or his parents? And what does Jesus say? Neither. Guys, this is a heavy statement that Jesus makes here that I need you to grab a hold of it in your heart, because it is deep as deep gets. What does Jesus say? He says, hey, listen, guys, the man was blind so that I could give him sight. Just take a second. The world looks at this man and go, man, how did this man screw up? And what did Jesus say? Hey, listen, it's not about his screw ups. His blindness was really just the path and the road to my grace. He was born blind just so I could minister to him. Like, he needed to be sad so he can actually experience happiness and joy. You got to date a few bad ones to know you got a good one, right? Can you see this in your life? Like, are you in this spot right now where you just, woe is me, woe is me. The world hates me. The Lord doesn't love me. All these bad things are happening to me. I can't see. And what does Jesus say? Man, you purposely could not see because you were waiting for me to minister to you so that you could. Listen to me. If you've never understood this about life and what God is doing, life is not about your career, your family, your fun, your hobbies, your relationships. Life is one long journey about putting him first and making you more like his son in this level of dependence on him. And he will take you to that space however you want to go. But from infancy to death, this life of sanctification, growing you more like Jesus, is making you more dependent on him. And so if you need to be blind, brother, he'll make you blind. If you need sickness, he'll make you sick. If you need to experience death, you'll walk through death. And God goes, hey, listen, even though it looks bad news on this earth, it's good news to you. Man, if you're a note taker, please reflect on your own life. This man desperately needed blindness. He desperately needed it. Like some of you guys right now, you've gone through tragedy in your marriage. Like your marriage has been a hot mess. And your marriage was not founded on Christ. And it's crumbled and it's been literally a dumpster fire to where you're sitting here now going, I don't know where else to go. And God goes, man, that's good news because you've never done this with me. Man, you are blind, not because of your foolishness, but because I could give you sight. The only way for you to stand is for you to first kneel. And so literally Peter, the disciples, they are walking with Christ and they still don't fully understand, right? Guys, listen to me. God desires to minister to you, but God ministers in the midst of need. He desires to minister, but the way God ministers in the midst of trials. And then he takes those trials, he takes those needs, he takes that dependence, and he preaches to others through it. And so now, what started with a blind man, the disciples, and Jesus starts to kind of get a crowd around them. And so in that, we see a picture of Christ. And I was thinking to myself in that text right there that in verse 3, it says, Jesus answered, neither the man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God shall be revealed in him. I mean, Jesus said it, so it's true, but man's mind could go, well, like technically, like they both have sinned. The parents sinned, the man sinned, right? And so like they're not perfect. And so literally in the midst of their sin, the man was blind and Jesus could have said he deserved it, right? Like understand how perfection in Christ and sin works, guys. If anything, if God is real and heaven exists, right? If anything outside of perfection is sin, then all of us deserve blindness. Like the fact that any of us can see should blow our mind. And so literally, self-righteously, the disciples come up to this blind man and go, man, what did he do? Where Jesus should have been like, well, brother, why can you see? Like anything good in your life, hang on this, anything good in your life, from literally your taste buds tasting the food to you being able to breathe and stand here this morning, from God blessing you with family and health and sight yourself, especially the spirit that lives within you, anything good in your life is by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. That is why we worship. That is why we worship. Guys, listen to me. When those disciples asked Jesus the question, what did this guy do? Jesus, rightfully so, could have been like, hey, guys, you don't have enough time in your day for me to tell you. Guys, we should all be blind if blindness comes from deserving because of sin. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says to the disciples that it is not about man's blindness or his sin, but it's just creating a path to grace. And now this man is a sermon that I'm preaching, not just to him, but to others. I hear this all the time. People will laugh, but they're not joking. And I'm not playing either, because I will. In the fact that they'll go, hey, Hunter, hey, I'm not going to say anything else. I don't want you to use me in a sermon. And I always go, I will, you know. Hey, you try to preach 1,000 sermons and not get material from you guys, okay? And so sometimes I'll just go places and sit and just take notes of your life. And I'll go, I'll use this one day. Right? And don't get mad at me. That's what Jesus is doing here. He goes, brother, you've been blind since birth, and now I've given you sight. And you know why I've given you sight? Not because I want to just point the finger at you or point the finger at me. Is I'm literally preaching through you. And now I have brought you to me, but I am preaching through you to others. Have you ever thought about that? Man, is God using my situation to bring me closer to God? Is God using my situation to grow me closer in Christ? Is God using my situation to preach not just to me, but to preach through me to others? And Jesus goes, I'm doing all of it simultaneously. That's what's happening in your life and mine, guys. Continue here. Look at verses 13. The blind man, when he's asked by the people, where'd this guy go that can heal sight, right? Heal blindness. And he says, I do not know. And look at verse 13. It says, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. And now it was a Sabbath when Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and he washed and I saw. And therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such a sign? Do you see the divisions, guys? Like some are like overpowered, overwhelmed, and very frustrated, self-righteous, like let's kill him now. And some are just kind of shattered and like, I don't know how any of this is making sense. They said, listen, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. That he had been blind and received his sight. So they're even questioning him until they called the parents of him who had received sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Do you see the scene, guys? Is this your son who you say was born blind? Well, how in the world does he now see? And his parents answered them, and he said, well, you know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself, right? So understand the scene. We're about to keep reading here. But the Pharisees can't make any sense of this either. Man, their eyes aren't open. Their ears aren't open. They don't know the speaker. They don't know what's going on. They're not being faithful. They just know this young man. They have heard the rumor and they've heard out of his mouth, I woke up blind, but now I can see. And in this situation, they bring the parents in and they go, hey, explain this to me. The parents are scared to death. They don't want to be involved in this argument. And so what do the parents say? The parents go, hey, this kid is not 4 or 5 years old. He's of age. You ask him. He can talk for himself. In verse 22, the parents said all of this because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had all agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him, don't ask us. And so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, will you highlight 25? It's probably my favorite of all this text. I love this statement. And the blind man, right, the formerly blind man, answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I can see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that has happened, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will, he fears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of anything that has opened the man's eyes who could not open it or born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do no things, do these things. Look at 34. And then they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. So understand the verses, guys. The story goes that the parents were scared to death of the Jews, much like Peter was in the Gospels, which we referenced last week, where that peasant girl came to Peter as Jesus was being taken to the cross and said, hey, aren't you that guy that knows Jesus? And what did Peter say? I don't know him. I don't know him. And I do not know him. But I love the verse that I told you to highlight in 25 where the blind man says, hey, listen, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a deacon or pastor. All I know is I woke up and I was blind at breakfast and now I can see at dinner. So I don't know who this man is. I don't know his life, but I'm praising Eve. Even though I do not know, and that is perfectly fine. I wish we had more of this. What we see in this formerly blind man is a young, raw, inexperienced hunger and new faith. This man did not even know who was standing before him. He did not know the Old Testament. He was born blind. And what does he say? I'm hungry enough to not deny him. I say with so many today, guys, that will stand before me and go, Hunter, this is making sense. God is stirring my heart. He's stirring my affections. My eyes are open for the first time. My marriage is being restored. I'm leading my family for the first time. Things are making sense. My ears are unclogged. But hey, before I stand before the church and say, God is king, let me just keep learning. Let me figure some things out first. I feel like I need to just dive in and really know this book first. What do we see in this formerly blind man? He goes, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I wasn't able to see the hands before my face a few hours ago, but I don't care if you kick me out. I can see, and so I will profess whoever that man was, he is God. Is that where you are? Like, what is holding us back? And that's a good question today that's not on the notes. Man, if you are lost today, destined for hell for your foolishness, and you were, man, I was born blind, and for the first time, like, my eyes are squinted. I got the left one open. I can see a few things. Man, get up and profess that God is king. Stand. Like, run to the altar. If you're living in sin right now, if glory waits for you and you know that you are saved, you've been seeing for a while, but your eyes are going back to squinting. God, forgive me. Man, what are you waiting for? What holds you back? We need more blind men, right? We need more individuals that say, listen, I don't fully understand, but I know that God is doing great things. I might not even fully know who God is, but I will not deny him. And the story continues. Look at verse 35 through 41. Follow me here. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, right? Because that's what happens. For you guys that are being faithful, spoiler alert, the world that you love will abandon you. The things of this life that you think that they are really in your corner and they love you and they support you and they'll always be with you. Listen to me. When you start following Christ and if they're walking against him, they will not walk with you. They will abandon you. And so we have this young man who was blind from birth. Now he could see his own parents go, hey, ask him. I don't want to be in the same boat as him. And now the people of the temple, they literally, the synagogue, they cast him out. And Jesus heard this. And when he had found the man, he said to him, will you highlight it? Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered, who is he? Who is he? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? He didn't even know who's standing in front of. And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see, highlight this one, please. For judgment I have come into this world. I've come to create division. That those who do not see may see. And that those who see may be blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things. And he said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, then you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. You know who this man is, this formerly blind man? He is the woman at the well. It's the exact same story. This man is in the situation where he's literally sitting in front of Christ. And Jesus says, do you want that water that you'll never thirst for again? And just like the woman, they both stand there and go, hey, I would love such water. I would love to know this man who can do these things. And he goes, I'm sitting right in front of you. This man is hungry, but he's let down by the world. In his lostness, he was blind. And in his sight, he's been abandoned. But guess who was there, church? Jesus. Miraculously blessed and now ostracized by the only thing that he had ever known. Please hear me, guys. Please hear me. In this world, you will lose so much, but so little standing next to what you will gain. You hear me? When you stand up and say, hey, Christ is Lord, Jesus is King. My life is meant to worship him. I do not live in a physical world with spiritual attributes and aspects. I live in a spiritual world with physical worldly aspects. Everything, my job, my spouse, my kids, my money, my friends, my words, my time, my schedule, my hobbies. Everything is meant to glorify him. You will lose so much, but so little standing next to what you gain. So little. What does the Bible say? Man, you can have it all as long as I have him. You can have it all. You can have my friends. You can have my family. You can have my money. You can have my faith. You can have my life as long as I have him. Right? Man, I'd rather be poor with Christ than rich without him, right? And so as this young man, he's actually in a hard predicament. He woke up blind going, woe is me, but now he can see going, where did everybody go? Right? Where did everybody go? My parents abandoned me. My friends abandoned me. The spiritual influences in my life abandoned me. And the only person left with them is who? Christ. It's such a scene, guys. It's such a scene when Jesus sits by this man and goes, not only have I given you sight, I promise you I will never abandon you. Is that why you don't stand up? Listen to me. Is that why you don't stand? Is that why you don't hit those waters? Is that why you don't run to the altar? Is that why you don't profess him being king? Is that why you don't speak at your workplace or pray with your bride or your kids? Because you think, if I start doing that, I'm going to lose so much. And you ask yourself, Hunter, if I start living for God being first, king, creator, sovereign, good father, if I start doing that, what if? And I beg of you to ask another question of, what if I don't? Like, what if I don't do these things? What if I don't put God at the king of my family and my money and my mind and my relationship and my kids? Like, what if that happens, right? And this young man has lost everything, now can see, and he goes, man, I'm thankful to be here alone with him. Continues here where this simple story leads to the gospel. Look at verses 1 through 21 in chapter 10. Please hang with me. I know we've read a lot, but please hang with me. Just literally, just hang on every word. When I tell you to highlight, get ready to work. And Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold for the door, by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Highlight 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Highlight 6. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not still fully understand the things in which they spoke, which he spoke. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus says to the people, the crowd, the blind, the former blind man, the disciples, the Pharisees, the onlookers, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, the world, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. That is the good news of the gospel. As you lose everything of this world, you gain something greater. Highlight 11. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. This man's blindness has led to a sermon on the gospel, which many people are hearing. The good shepherd gives life for all of the sheep, but a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not know the own sheep. He sees wolves coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And the hireling flees because it is the hireling and does not care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, and even so now that I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Hang with me, church. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, here's the gospel, that I may take it again. Highlight 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so as we start to wrap in here and close at the very beginning of our time, Jesus answered to the men who asked, why is this man blind? Is it because of him or his parents? And Jesus answered, neither. It is not his sins, it is not his parents' sins, but it's that the works of God shall be revealed in him. So the scriptures say that this young man was blind since birth, and now his eyes are open, and he is surrounded by a crowd, some angry, some fascinated, some in love. He woke up, woe is me, and now he finds himself in a sermon in 2024. This man's life is a canvas for the gospel, and your life is no different. It is no different. Right now, today, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, do not wake up going, woe is me, why am I blind? Your blindness is probably a blessing from God. It is a sermon to other people. As you struggle, preach that God is with you. As you drown in life or you sit there abandoned by the world, preach that God is with you. As the world looks at you, as you stand by the curtain and everything goes down for you, stand high and tall with the one that stands next to you, and that is Christ Almighty. That is what this blind man is doing. And what does Jesus say? I am the way. This world is a thief that will abandon you, and I came to die for those who will call me his. I came for the blind to have sight, and I came for those that think they can see to be blind. You hear that? For those that are humble this morning, think of my eyes are open. He says, well, I gave you that sight, professed me to be king. For you guys that came in here and said, man, I've been seeing since birth. He says, keep being blind. Keep being blind. As we close here, church, I plead with you to press pause on your life and realize the magnitude of how God is working this morning. There are so many things that are happening in your life that God is working in you and working through you. I love the moment. As we close, we're going to read a few more verses. This man was blind. Years of sadness, parent heartache, Jesus comes, gives him sight, the world abandons, and the man has joy for the first time. What is greater in this man's life, his physical sight or the joy of his heart? And so we're going to read the last few verses in 22 through 30, and then we're going to pray for our service. So follow me here. And now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you already, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Highlight the last verse. I and my Father are one. So as we pray here, and this is our fifth week of walking through salvation, sanctification in Christ, my plea to you this morning as we finish up this little series is that for the first time in your life, if your eyes are open, if God's voice is penetrating the ears, if you know who is speaking, but you are scared to death of all that you will lose, stand up in all that you will gain. Profess that Christ is King. And let the world that you worship, let it leave, because you will have so much in what you gained. Thank God for his church, that we have a family in the midst of being an alien to this world. I love this story. If today you are saved, asking a question of you praising God for your sight, will you close your eyes with me as we pray and you say, God, thank you for the blindness that happened in my life because I had to walk through sadness to experience joy. Are you mature enough to say that for those that are being sanctified? Do you look at the sadness and going, I know God is doing something great? That's a good question. For my sage folks in this room, are you going through heartache and you know I'm trusting in God even though I'm not enjoying? I know the outcome is that I'm more like Christ, and so I actually take pleasures in my infirmities, Paul says. Are you there today? Because please hear me. Jesus goes, hey, it's not about sin. It's about the pathway to grace. That is what God is doing in your life. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, as I think about my own life, there have been many moments where I've woken up and said, woe is me. God, there's been many moments where I've asked God, why me? In my foolishness and misunderstanding about how you work, there's been moments where I've said, what have I done to deserve? But God, I thank you for what the Spirit has done in my life to where in good days and difficult days, I know that you are working for my good and most importantly for your glory. I needed to be blind. I needed to be humbled. I needed to be quiet and silent to what you are doing in my life. And I thank you for not just opening my eyes, but opening my ears and opening my heart for those that sit here today and they are scared to death of what they will lose. Show them all they will gain. God, let those sheep that you call yours, let them stand. Let them stand. Let them abandon the world before the world abandons them. And as you sit beside them, all alone, let your sheep praise your name for all that they have gained in you. Lord, thank you for your Son, the cross, your amazing, truthful, inerrant word. I thank you for your church, these teachers, Lord, the songs that we sing, the fellowship that we have. We thank your blood that covers us for the moment that we will have where we will stand before the Creator and he will not see us, but he will see the one who came to die for us. I thank you for Jesus, our Savior, in your precious and in your holy name, in the name of Christ, the church says in harmony, amen.